celebrating the day that Jesus Christ conquered sin and death by rising from the grave.
Can I? Woo!
Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't say you're going to have an amen, but Frank just jumped all over that, which I like very much. We got kind of a special treat. We're going to feature our micro persons a little bit today. We're going to have four people preach, 35 minutes each, so that better not happen. Our heads will indeed roll. Right now, I'm attempting to
roll indeed.
He's got the spirit of Easter. We're also going to do communion a little bit later. We'll explain that at the end of the preaching time. So if you're a believer in Christ or you're headed in that direction, it's a good thing to do. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and we'll read the scripture, and then we'll bring people up.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here in your presence. We are here today because we serve a risen Savior. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins, taking all of our guilt and our shame away, as far as the east is from the west. Lord, I'm grateful for that, and I'm so grateful, and we are grateful that your sacrifice was accepted, that it was complete, and that you rose from the dead, and you demonstrated to us that death has no grip on us, and that we are not separated from you if we trust in Jesus. We're so grateful for that. We thank you, Lord, for that. Today, let our hearts attune to you. Let us hear what you have to say to us. Let us listen. Let us be changed by your word, by your truth. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory.
That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever.
Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them.
So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun.
And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation.
So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ.
Can we have some kids going out?
Yeah, so. Now would be the time.
No, verily, you thought about the demise.
All right, happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
You know, did you know Easter changes everything? You got that right. Easter is the center of the Christian life. We are here to celebrate the fact that Jesus changed us into something new. Right? He's broken our brokenness. And he's made us whole. We have a new identity. That's the cool part. We're new. We're something different than we were before. That scripture said, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, and the new life has begun. So, Stacy, I'm going to share something you told me. Is she still in the room? Ah, I snuck it by her. Stacy Rager said something the other day that kind of made this hit home for me. She shared her testimony last May, and she told me that after she shared it, it changed her. It turned all the stuff that had bothered her about her life, that had held her down, into just old history. Like an old dusty history book you could just put on the shelf and forget about. It wasn't that she didn't remember it. It wasn't that it didn't happen, but it didn't matter anymore. That's what Christ does for us. She was able to do that not just because she told her story, but that because she was reminded that stuff in the story she's no longer held to. Okay? That Jesus forgives it all. That she's no longer culpable for it, accountable to it. That sin stuff, that shame, all of that is gone because of what Jesus did on the cross. We no longer have to be defined by the things that we're ashamed of, and by the people and the events that hurt us and tore us up. We're just not that person anymore. We are forgiven and clean. Sin and guilt and shame were put to death on the cross. They died with Jesus. Jesus died, but he left that stuff there dead on the cross, and he rose from the grave. That's the power of Easter. Amen. The power of Jesus to conquer sin and death in us.
Yes.
We confess all the things that we think define us, and we trust that Jesus loves us, knowing who we are and what we've done, and he wants to make us whole. He wants to make us whole. Now, Jesus is breaking our brokenness on the cross. Our brokenness is broken to pieces because of Jesus. We don't have to be defined by it anymore. We have a new identity, and that identity is friends of Jesus. Inheritors of the kingdom of God. Inheritors of heaven. Royal family.
Yes.
We look around this room, and if we look around as the world sees us, we're pretty broken. If we look at what we remember about people and their lives, we're pretty broken. But if we look at this room, these people, through the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of forgiveness, through the eyes of what he did on the cross, we don't see the slacker, the addict, the hoarder, the angry person, the insecure person, the fearful person, the person that's ruled by fear or by lust. That's gone. We look through the eyes of God and we see people who reflect the forgiveness of Jesus. People who look like Jesus in nature, in spirit, in purity. That's how God sees us if we hold on to Jesus, if we give our lives to Christ. Our new identity is people who are changed and whole. We take on the identity of the one we love, Jesus. Our precious, life-changing Jesus. That's what we look like now. Go look in the mirror. That's who you'll see.
Yes.
That's the joy of Easter, and that's the hope of the Christian life.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Indeed.
Thank you, Debbie. And that identity that we've been given is more than just what we're not. So we are the inheritors of the kingdom of God, and we are forgiven, and we are in the image of Christ. But that comes with a mission. We have purpose. You know, human beings were originally created in the image of God. That was our purpose. And something happened. Sin happened. We chose, as a people, each individual one of us and Adam in the beginning chose to define right and wrong by our own instincts rather than trusting what God says. And Jesus showed up and he changed that. And he was the perfect image of God. And in his resurrection, he allowed us the opportunity to be that kind of image of God. Now, what did Jesus do? What message did he bring?
Hope.
Repent, believe, hope.
Grace.
The kingdom of God. That's the first thing he says he's bringing. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus appeared on the scene and brought the kingdom of God. Now, Paul leaves us at the end of this passage a charge to be bearers of that message. So we bear in ourselves that message to be that the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. In another place, Paul charges Timothy to remember the good confession that he made in front of many witnesses. So today, I want to make a good confession to you. I believe that 2,000 years ago, there was a Jewish carpenter who refused to stay dead. I don't think that's an allegory. I don't think it's an image. I think it's real. That he was nailed to a Roman cross and his blood poured out, and that was for the redemption of my sins. And I believe that that blood of my redemption today runs through the veins of that man. The miracle of Christianity is not that Jesus was human, it's that he is human still today. And we can be a human like he is a human. Perfect reflection of the image of God. May my life reflect that. May every action of my being, may my whole world be penetrated by that good news. May that good confession be the controlling aspect of every element of my life. If you see it not, tell me. And if it is not for you, I invite you today to make it that way. There are many people here who can tell you what the first steps are on that road. The image of God has come. It's alive. Jesus lives today. His heart beats with the blood of your redemption. That's the message for you this morning.
Yes.
Jesus' resurrection actually do? This is really not just one question, but it's two questions. The first is, what did Jesus' resurrection accomplish in the unseen, spiritual, eternal realm to which neither our senses nor our intellect have access? And the second question is, what did Jesus' resurrection accomplish in the observable, tangible, temporal realm, where our minds, bodies, and emotions are all we have to understand and evaluate the things we experience in life? The Bible is all we have to give us not only an understanding of the fact that the Lord is risen indeed, but also to give us an understanding of the forces that were turned loose out of the eternal world into our temporal world when Jesus came back to life on that first Easter Sunday. Verse 14 of our text answers the question, what does Jesus' resurrection mean to us right out of the gate? The one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Note the word will. It's fun to trip on what it will be like when all of us who believe in Jesus are raised up together to be with him forever. but obviously we have some ways to go before that happens. What then do we have in this physical, temporal life as a result of Easter? Let's hold that thought as we go through our text. Verse 15 starts out, "All this is for your benefit." But the original Greek simply says, "all." It is in the plural, rendering it more properly, "all things." To borrow from another passage that Paul wrote, "All things by him," that is God the Father, "were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." That's the "all things" that Paul is talking about here in verse 15. Everything that God made and did is for our benefit. Does it look that way? Does it feel that way? Probably not. But we have God's sovereign word that that is in fact the way it is. All things are for our benefit who believe in Jesus. And to what purpose? I think the entire purpose behind God's creation of heaven and earth, as well as his redemptive work,